This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Haim Goodwin-Strauss.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Haim. Haim is a math professor at the University of Arkansas. On the phone with us today is Wayne L. Winston, and Wayne is the author of the new book, Mathletics. Wayne, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is sort of the mathematical way to solve those discussions that you can have at your favorite watering hole, in a sense, isn't it?
Well, that's part of it. And to be honest, math should never settle these things. I like to think of math as one data point you put in the equation when you're trying to make decisions in sports or settle these barroom arguments.
And to give an example to listeners of some of the discussions that are involved in Mathletics, one discussion is, who had the better year hitting, Nomar Garciaparra or Ichiro Suzuki? And this is something where passion, you know, if you're a Boston Red Sox fan or a Seattle Mariners fan, can come in, but you try to take the passion out of it somewhat.
Oh, right. And if I could update this, because your fans may not even remember Nomar because he's not playing, I could take an example from this year that's in the same spirit. Let's keep Ichiro in there versus Prince Fielder of the Brewers. So I think Prince Fielder hit about 300 and Ichiro hit about 350 or 360. So who helped the team more? Well, Ichiro basically hits only singles and doesn't hit for power. Prince Fielder hits for power a lot. So baseball sabermetricians, as they've called, and the baseball stuff in the book, to be honest, is not stuff I developed. I want to be clear on that. I'm just trying to explain it to the interested person who likes math and likes baseball. The other stuff, a lot of it I did develop with my colleague Jeff Sagarin. But the baseball stuff, I'm just trying to make understand. It's like the math behind Moneyball. So getting back to, let's say, Prince Fielder versus Ichiro, there's a couple of ways people look at this. One way is to say, if you had a team of nine Ichiros or nine Prince Fielders, which team would score more runs? And the answer is nine Prince Fielders. And you can go through the math. You can just play out lots of games or use a math tool that a lot of your listeners might know, Markov chains, and you can show, even though Prince Fielder wouldn't get as many hits, those home runs counterbalance that. And one other way to do it is just simply to look at how hitters change the win probability when they come up each time. Like, if you come up Bobby Thompson's home run, maybe the most famous hit in baseball history, when he came up in the Dodger-Giant playoff game, the Dodger-Giants had about a 30% chance of winning. His home run won the game. That raised the chance to 100%. So when you do something good, you raise the chance of your team winning. When you do something bad, you lower the chance of the team winning. And if you do that with Ichiro this year and Prince Fielder, you find out Prince Fielder created more wins than Ichiro.
If you're a sports fan, and as I am, and you're reading a lot of this, sometimes I have to admit I'd scratch my head and say, okay, I'm going to take your word for it on some of the mathematical situations.
Good point, because, I mean, I wrote the book. I mean, why did I write the book? Well, because, I mean, lots of people read Moneyball. Lots of people love math. I mean, tons of people love sports. I mean, almost everybody loves sports. But for the person who likes math and sport, like me, the person who never made a team in high school or college, I mean, but always loved sports and loved math in seventh grade, I really hope where this book goes is under the tree for the parent, to the kid in high school, boy or girl, who likes math and loves sports. And there are so many of these kids I run into. And if they know their high school algebra pretty well, I think they can go through and work through the stuff. But I hope I wrote it also so you can do exactly what you said. You can skip the equations and try and understand the gist, but you'd probably have to take my word if you don't understand the math. But I tried to make the book self-contained. But, I mean, it is a mathematical book, and honestly, I heard somebody say, every equation in a book reduces your sales by 50%. Now, it's number 1,900 on Amazon, which is pretty good.
That is. Yeah, I have to say, I have to take your word for it on the sports, but that checks out. So.
No, I mean, yeah, I have to say, I didn't really explain the sports. You're right on that, because, I mean, I assume most people wouldn't pick it up unless they really like baseball. We have a little soccer in there, which you might want to get to later. But it's basically, we start out with baseball, and then we go into football, and then basketball, and then the mathematics of gambling.
Yeah, you know, you have a piece on game theory in football. I guess you say the data's not really there, but that's...
I wish it were.
That really is, since it's sort of discrete plays and making discrete calls, you know. Seems like game theory really could say something.
Yeah, it's a great example. I'll say a few words on that. Okay, the key thing in football is play selection, and every fan thinks they know better than the coach what play to call. And there's been a lot of stuff on football lately, and basically a couple of controversies have come out. One is David Romer, a professor at Berkeley, whose wife, Christina Romer, is one of Obama's top economic advisors, said teams, when they have the ball on their 10-yard line and fourth down and 3 yards to go, should go for it. Now, no coach would do this because they think they'd get fired. And I'm not quite sure. I get a different conclusion than Romer. It depends on, really, what's the value of having the ball in a given situation, like first and 10 on your 10-yard line, and that's pretty controversial. But what comes out is, if you study the plays in the NFL, and I haven't done anything other than the NFL, a lot of other people have done this, it turns out that passing is more effective than running on average. So teams pass a little bit more than they run, but I think, and most other people think, they should pass more. Now you get to the game theory question. There's a simple model in the book. The offense can call pass or run. And everybody who teaches finite math basically teaches this two-person game theory, and it's a nice example. Offense can call pass or run. Defense can guess pass or run. And obviously, if the defense guesses what the offense does, you're going to do worse.
Right.
And so it's a beautiful example of what we call mixed strategies. I can't pass all the time because they would figure that out. And if they pass, that kills my passing offense. So I have to mix passing and running. And the interesting thing is, I mean, your better play may be the one you use less because the other team will play against it more. So there are lots of counter. Now, making this help in real life, a lot of your listeners may play Madden football. I don't know if either of you guys have played it. My son plays it all the time. And lots of high school boys play Madden football probably far too much. But in Madden football, you have like 20 plays you can call on offense and defense. And somehow the makers of this game know the payoff or the distribution of what will happen on each play combination. What I would like to see in real football, and I almost thought about trying to start a business to do this, have an NFL guy who knows coaching watch the tape of every game, write down what was the offensive call and the defensive call and how many yards were gained. And then I think you could populate a matrix that would tell you how effective each play is, and you could do two-person, zero-sum mixed strategies. Because football is zero-sum.
It's one thing to try to use math to say George Brett's 1980 season was equivalent to anything Honus Wagner did. That you can, you know.
It's hard, though.
It's, but when I think it really gets interesting, you cover this, is the BCS.
Oh, God, yes.
Because this is money, and this is real-world mathematics already in sports.
Oh, right. I mean, the BCS, I guess we have to look at what is the objective of the BCS, and I'll tell you why I really think it's the way it is and it has nothing to do with math. Okay, it's the objective of the BCS to sort of maximize the number of people in the U.S. who think we've picked the right team to be the champion. If it is, it's a terrible system. So let's go through. The BCS averages two human polls, and then there's an average of six computers. Okay, so the computers count for one-third, the people count for two-thirds. Well, I don't have a beef with that. But here's the computer rankings, they are not allowed to count the scores of the game. So if I beat a team by 1 point or 40 points, it counts the same to the computer. It doesn't count the same to the human being, obviously. Okay, so like if Florida lucked out 2 weeks ago against your Arkansas team, right?
Right.
And that was a bad call that the referee crew got suspended for. So, I mean, Arkansas missed the field goal, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so Arkansas on Florida's home field was as good as Florida. I mean, actually they were better. If that call doesn't get made, they win the game. And it was obviously a bad call. They suspended the crew. Okay, so basically the computer puts that in as if it didn't matter if Florida won that game by one or by 50. Now anybody who watched that game factors that in and says it was a close game. Maybe Florida should have lost, but the computer is not the reason they're doing this is they don't want teams to run up the score.
Right.
Okay. But there's ways to modify the computer so that you give partial credit for like up to 30 points. You give credit. You know, this could be done. But the computers, I don't know how many of your listeners know this, they are not allowed to count the score of the game. So what happens if a team goes undefeated? They would have an infinite rating on the computer unless you fudge it. In other words, if Harvard goes 11-0 and nobody else does, computer systems would have Harvard as the best team unless they do a fudge factor. That's why you got to count the score of the game.
Well, do you think this can work in that way where there are people who I suppose still have this idea that math and books are for nerds, but when you show them that there is math intrinsic in all games, football, basketball, golf, even the sports book at your favorite Vegas casino, don't you think that that could give some of these people who say, oh, I don't need to know math, or I don't like math, a new respect for what mathematics is?
Oh, absolutely right. And I mean, one thing I hoped with this book was to turn on some of these people who like sports and aren't the best math students in school onto math, because time knows, I mean, basically, I mean, we're biased. I mean, I think math's the most important subject that people learn, because you get a PhD in anything, you have to know math. You got to do statistical analysis. I mean, there's no field that I can think of. They do math to predict movie revenues. Math, and unfortunately, math killed us in the financial crisis, but that's, we could have another talk on that, you know? But I mean, math, the failure of math, I mean, hopefully you'll, have you interviewed anybody on math in the financial crisis? I'm not the right one, but you should, because that would be really a great show, and it impacts everybody's life. But I think you're exactly, I mean, I hope my passion for math shows through, and I'm teaching a sports and math course in the spring. And I mean, I taught it once before, and the kids said, I liked all my other courses at Kelly, but this was by far my favorite course because you gave us homework like, was Santana overpaid? I mean, that's your homework problem. Evaluate when the Mets assigned Sabathia, was that a good deal? Is A-Rod overpaid? Those are fun. Should the Steelers have gone for two on the game Monday night? Or should they have gone? I mean, how much more fun can you have for homework than to have questions like that?
The name of the book is Mathletics, How Gamblers, Managers, and Sports Enthusiasts Use Mathematics in Baseball, Basketball, and Football. Wayne L. Winston, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks. I really enjoyed this. You know your sports and your
he
math.
He does.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.